your primary task is to go after the barriers within you that stand against it. So the more I work out and the more I work through my anger, my sadness, my bitterness, my resentment, the more I'm able to access and therefore increase my happiness.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. We have our guest Jake with us today, and Jake and I are going to carry on a really fascinating conversation on breaking free from childhood beliefs. So many of us, including myself and Jake, lived a life for decades and had no idea that these childhood beliefs that were buried inside of us were controlling us. So buckle in. It's going to be a great show. Welcome, Jake.
Brad, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Sweet. So we always jump right in. So let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
What, in your experience, is the primary obstacle that keeps entrepreneurs from finding fulfillment and success, and how can they address it?
It's by far and away resistance. No question. The question is simply, what is responsible for that resistance? What is the source of the resistance? That's what stops people from reaching their goals, growing as fast as they would like to. It all comes back to resistance. It's just a matter of what caused the resistance or what is keeping that resistance in place.
So let's dive more into that.
Yep.
When you say resistance, give me an example.
I truly believe it all comes back to fear at the end of the day. But if we're talking about an entrepreneur, you know, there's this old saying that you can't outgrow your beliefs because your beliefs by virtue are that which is true. So if you have self-limiting beliefs, which we all have self-limiting beliefs in order to keep us safe, in order to keep us inside of our comfort zone. Anything outside of our comfort zone, our nervous system experiences as a threat. But we know that in order to grow, we have to step outside of our comfort zone. So if you have self-limiting beliefs, they are going to, by virtue, hold you back from getting to the next level, from going deeper in terms of love, intimacy, connection, creating greater financial abundance and success for yourself, attracting a greater degree of career opportunity, because the primary goal of the ego is to maintain the status quo. So our beliefs simply serve as confirmation bias to that end, to keep us in our comfort zone, to maintain the status quo so that we simply go on repeating and recreating the same circumstances over and over again that we know that are familiar to us. So in order for that to happen, we have to break through, overcome, and ultimately transcend these beliefs. Now, here's where it gets tricky, and you know this as a hypnotherapist, that our beliefs are stored where? They're stored
deep in the subconscious.
Correct. Exactly. Deep in the subconscious mind. So in order to break through them, what must happen? We must bring them to the conscious level. We have to increase our conscious awareness in order for that to occur. And that's when we can work through the resistance that's attached to our beliefs. Because all of our beliefs create what? They create thoughts, right? That's how a belief starts. It's just a thought that's on repeat. And I'm sure you've discussed this with your audience members many times in the past. But that, of course, dictates our attitude, our energy, our actions, and our decisions, which gets us all of our results. So in order to make a change, the first step is to increase our conscious awareness so that we can become aware of the beliefs that hold us back. We can break through, transcend those beliefs, dissolve resistance, right? Because that's when we dissolve the resistance, is when we break through those beliefs so that we can then step into taking the actions that we need to take in order to achieve a greater degree of growth.
Love it. Wow, I love this stuff. All change begins with awareness is what's on the screen right now, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, and I know, after dealing with hundreds and hundreds of people, and ourselves really too, are shining examples, we had no awareness of what was driving the behavior that we wanted to change. So how could we ever change it?
Well, the answer quite simply is that you can't.
You can't.
Right? You can't. You can't outgrow your beliefs. So in order to grow, you need to develop new beliefs so that there's congruence between your beliefs and your desires. If there's a lack of congruence there, quite simply put, it's going to be a round peg square hole situation. So that's where we have to start. So the resistance that you experience, and I'm talking to the audience now, the resistance that you or any of us experience in relationship to our goals, to the vision that we have for the future, to experiencing a greater degree of love, intimacy, career opportunity, financial abundance. The amount of resistance that we currently experience is simply of a reflection of our current level of self-awareness, personal development, emotional intelligence, growth, and healing.
Wow. Love it. So can you talk a little bit about those four steps and how someone could use those four steps to change these limiting beliefs and change their lives? Because this really is the secret to life. This is the secret to happiness. We have most of society in this hypnotized state, going to work at a job they don't like, coming home, fighting with the spouse, drinking three glasses of wine or a 6 or 12 pack of beer, arguing, and then redoing it every day, right? Shitty Yep. relationship, shitty health, not where they want to be financially. And this is it. This is why. And my question to you is, using those four steps, how does someone transform their life?
Well, we have to heal before we transform, first and foremost. Those two things are actually different. Everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to actually die, right? Most transformational work, in full transparency, is just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Because the approach that most coaching, and you've probably seen this many, many times before in the people that you've served, right? They've hired the coaches, they've gone to therapy, and they're like, Brad, it still hasn't worked. It hasn't stuck long term. It hasn't been sustainable, right? I'm still struggling with the same things. I mean, some narrative along Yes. those lines.
Almost everybody, almost every Right. single person. I've tried therapy. I've tried marriage counseling. Yep. I've gone to Tony Robbins. I know what I should be doing, but I can't do it.
Right. Because there's a very significant difference between uncovering something and undoing it. Very distinct difference. You can become aware of the source of your limiting beliefs all day long until you experience healing around those experiences, those incidences, those circumstances, those situations. You're likely, despite your increase in conscious awareness, you're going to still go back to your old behavior patterns.
Oh, I love that. What a great explanation.
You will. I mean, take a look at yo-yo dieting, for example. Why do people, you know, lose weight, but they fail to keep it off? It's arguably the most pervasive problem in the health and fitness industry. When it comes to nutrition, when it comes to dieting, right? People will lose the weight, but they will not be able to keep it off. They will revert right back to their previous weight prior to having adopted the new diet, the new nutrition regimen, whatever it may be.
98% of diets fail.
Correct.
But yet, that's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Billion dollar industry. Statistics show, for example, 90% of people will revert back to their former level of behavior after the coaching, whatever that coaching is, whether it's health and fitness coaching, whether it's life coaching, whether it's business coaching or consulting, they will revert back to their former level of behavior and therefore results. That's staggering.
Wow.
Take New Year's resolutions, for example, right? Because we're coming up on the new year. Everyone's looking to go into 2024, new year, new me. We hear it all the time. But statistics show that I believe come March 1st, over 87% of people are off track when it comes to their New Year's resolutions. And over 90% of people do not end up accomplishing them. Those are staggering statistics right there in three different areas. Why is that? Because we're operating, typically speaking, most coaching supports people at the level of behavior, not the level of belief.
Conscious.
Symptom, disease. Conscious, unconscious.
Yes.
Right? So that's why most coaching is just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. People tend to get results in the coaching container, but who cares about that if the results don't last, if they're not long-lasting and sustainable, if they don't stick long-term? So I often find myself, and I know from your and my conversations offline, that you find yourself having people come to you and saying, nothing's worked, right? It's not sticking, and I don't know what to do. I don't know why that is. Again, because there's a distinct difference between uncovering something and undoing something. Our primary task should not be to seek greater happiness, but to seek after and find what stands in the way of us experiencing greater happiness.
Boom, drop the mic there.
That's where the real work is. But the ego prefers almost anything to the change that is required in that. It would much prefer to go on maintaining the status quo and keeping us trapped in this illusion, whatever the illusion is. I'm happy in my marriage when I'm actually incredibly dissatisfied for whatever reason. I'm happy at my job, despite the fact that I continue year after year to put my dreams on the back burner. I'm happy at my current level of success, despite the fact that I know I'm capable of so much more than what I'm currently doing. It looks slightly different for everybody, but I think the pervasive problem that you and I likely both experience in people coming to us is that on some deep inherent level, people know that they're made for so much more because we're wired for transcendence. And this is why I will say to my clients, going back to my previous statement, our primary task should not be to seek after greater happiness, but to seek after and find the barriers within us that stand against it.
Wow, I love it.
Anger is the key to happiness.
Anger is the key to happiness.
Correct. And here's why. And you could insert any word there, for example, sadness, right? Bitterness, resentment. The more I work out and work through and heal my anger, heal my sadness, heal my bitterness and resentment, what ends up happening as a result, Brad?
Yeah, you find more fulfillment and happiness and joy and connection.
Bingo, because all of those things block me, block us from experiencing happiness. But what is the pervasive approach to increasing in happiness? What do I need to do in order to amplify happiness? Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's make more money, whether it's switch jobs. Over 73% of people year to year are looking to change jobs. What does that tell you? It tells you that they're not happy at their current position for whatever reason. But there is nothing that can give you more of what you already have, period.
Yeah.
There is nothing that can give you more of what you already have. All of the happiness that you are looking for is already here. It's already available to you. Your primary task is to go after the barriers within you that stand against it. So the more I work out and the more I work through my anger, my sadness, my bitterness, my resentment, the more I'm able to access and therefore increase my happiness.
Happiness is from within. You've always had what you needed to be happy. You have it right now. But what I did and what most of us do for 47 years of my life is I said, this external thing is causing my unhappiness, whether it be my wife, my job, and I'm going to get happiness by buying that 42-foot boat and taking it to the Bahamas when I don't know anything about boating. I'm going to go date a bunch of girls when my divorce happens. And they're going to, no. Nothing outside of yourself can ever bring you happiness, and nothing outside yourself can bring you despair. What is happening when you have despair from something outside of yourself? Is it something within you that's causing that? It was something that happened in your past that you're bringing into that current situation. So,
correct.
Jake, what in your journey led you to where you are today in the work that you're doing?
Well, as you can probably imagine, and to no one's surprise, this is at the heart of my story. And it's what I wrote my entire book about, Let Love In. The pain stops when the truth starts, when we get to the root of the issue. I found myself in my late 20s, still incredibly young, found myself in my late 20s having accomplished a fairly high degree of career success for someone at that age, at that time. And yet on a very, very fundamental level, I was empty, unhappy, and unfulfilled, and I couldn't figure out why. Which ultimately led me to go to therapy, to go to counseling. And it was in counseling, it was in therapy that for the first time ever, I acknowledged an experience that I went through when I was 12 or 13 years old as sexual abuse that I had simply been running from. So it's not as if I repressed it or suppressed it. It's not as if I just all of a sudden remembered it, which does happen, by the way, in therapy all the time. That's very, very common where people dissociate. They completely forget what actually happened. And then they start unpacking their past experiences in a therapy, coaching, or counseling relationship. All of a sudden, these repressed memories come to the surface. And it's almost as if you're experiencing them for the first time. That wasn't the case with me. the case with me was that I had not been acknowledging it for what it actually was, which allowed me to run from it, but more importantly, run from the emotions attached to it, shame, guilt, embarrassment, humiliation, all of these various things. But as you kind of pointed out and alluded to earlier, until we reconcile the pain from the past, what will we inevitably do? We will recycle it in the present moment. And that's what I was doing. I was just doing it unconsciously because after my abuse, I created a belief in order to self-protect, in order to ensure that never happened again, that love was unsafe, that connection, that depth of intimacy was unsafe. So as you can probably imagine, 15 years later, here I am in my mid-20s, I'm dating, entering into long-term partnership. I needed to go on continuing to be right about this belief in order to maintain the status quo. So what do you think I did in my romantic relationships and even outside of my romantic relationships with my friends, with my family? What do you think I did?
Self-sabotage?
Correct. Yeah. I kept people at arm's length. Because the story that I made up is if I let you in, right, if I allow you to fully see me, if I allow myself to be vulnerable and connect with you, right? Because that's all very intimate, right? Even if it is platonic in nature, that isn't safe. Because 15 years prior, I had this traumatic experience that caused me to make up this belief that then caused a ripple effect into the future. And it wasn't until I experienced healing, not just around that incident, but I started to rewire these beliefs that I had created that had been reinforced for a decade and a half, that I was able to start to show up differently, right, in my life, in my relationships, and therefore attract differently, attract new opportunities, different people. And of course, this was like a very common theme, a very common thread that showed up everywhere in my life. It wasn't just in romantic relationships. Of course, this bled over into my relationships at work, for example, where I had a really hard time collaborating with people. Right? I had a hard time trusting others because giving them my trust, again, it felt unsafe because that does require a level of safe connection, right? To buy into trusting people. And now, if you're listening, you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know, Jake, I've never been through any big T trauma like that, abuse, assault. It really doesn't matter because we now know that trauma is significantly more about what happened inside of us as a result of what happened to us compared to what actually happened. It was much more about the belief that I created internally that then dictated my actions and my decisions that caused me to create the results that I was creating in my life over and over and over again. So, and that's what is true for everyone, regardless of whether or not everyone, right? That's where I really want to land the plane. This is true for everyone because, and I'm sure you experience this as well, people come to us all the time where they've never had any big T trauma, but they have these self-limiting beliefs. That's the real trauma, are the beliefs, are the stories that we make up about ourselves, other people in the world that ultimately hold us back.
Because the event is just a traumatic event. The trauma is what you told yourself about that. So
correct.
If you're suffering, you are not living in the truth. The truth shall set you free. And you have to look at the truth in order to heal. And I believe you've got to move through the pain to get to the freedom. You've got to move through the truth of the pain. Sometimes it's painful. Yep. And that's why we both know people who aren't willing to change because they don't want to. I've had friends that are like, I don't want to address my pain. And then there's a whole nother subset of people that don't understand that their deeply seated beliefs are creating their pain, right?
Correct. Well, because all of our beliefs, all of our thoughts create an emotional reaction inside of our body. And it's our emotions that dictate and determine our attitude, and our attitude determines our actions and our decisions. So as long as we have these experiences that have negative emotions attached to them, anger, sadness, guilt, shame, bitterness, resentment, etc. As long as those emotions are still attached to experiences that we have yet to reconcile from the past, we're just going to continue to carry those emotions into the future, and they are going to hold us back. So it's important to understand that whenever we say yes to something, we say no to something else. Whenever we say yes to ignoring our problems, for not to put it in an overly simplistic way. But whenever we say yes to ignoring our problems or putting off healing or not addressing the past and working through and reconciling the pain from the past, what do we say no to? We say no to growth. We say no to a greater degree of love, intimacy, financial abundance, and opportunity, because those are the things, the pain from the past, those are the things that block us from experiencing more of those things. But again, as you pointed out, the ego prefers almost anything to change, anything.
Because the ego / subconscious mind, its only purpose is to keep you alive.
Correct.
It recreates the same shit you went through. So if you were sexually abused or you were physically abused and you're wondering why you're in an abusive relationship today, it's not your fault. It's just your mind saying, I don't care if you're happy or sad. I just know that I know how to keep you alive, not even safe. I know how to keep you alive in this. So we're just going to recreate those. So yep. Jake, with this amazing knowledge and all you're experiencing in the growth and the healing that you've had, what exactly do you do now?
So I support my clients in a very similar way that you do. In terms of personal development and growth, spiritual development, it all follows the same three steps: construction, deconstruction, reconstruction. Construction is simply becoming aware of the beliefs, of the stories that stop us, that hold us back from growing, from reaching our full potential, from accomplishing our goals, whatever narrative you want to choose. It's becoming aware of all that stuff. The deconstruction process is actually breaking through and healing those things so that we can detach emotion from experience. For example, I now look back on my sexual abuse as one of the best things to ever happen to me because it gave me the gift of empathy, which any coach will tell you is arguably one of the most important qualities and characteristics that you need to have as a coach, or as a therapist, or as a counselor. You have to be able to meet your clients or your patients in the space of their pain and hold space for them and meet them there. This is the undoing, right? Construction is the uncovering. Deconstruction is the undoing. Reconstruction is where we adopt new patterns of behavior that are going to carry us forward into the future, which will create significantly new results and therefore a different life. So all personal growth, all spiritual development follows those exact three steps. But most people want to skip right to the reconstruction, right? Give me the diet plan, right? Give me the workout regimen, right? Without first addressing the internal beliefs and barriers within us that have us in need of a diet plan or a fitness regimen in the first place. And we ultimately end up bypassing the growth that needs to happen before that in order for it to stick long term.
I love it. I have the same exact three steps. I call it something differently: realize, recode, and then rewrite, which is same thing.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you're listening to this and you are wondering if you have these self-limiting beliefs and you have no idea, like myself and Jake for so many years, go to bradchandler.com/quiz and take a 3-minute 12 questions quiz. And it will tell you, it'll literally tell you if you have these self-limiting beliefs that are impacting your relationship, your health, your business, everything, your friendship. So do that. You said something really, really significant. And that is that you are okay with or looked in a positive light on the sexual abuse that you incurred. It happened for you. I live my life every single day, Jake, that things happen for me, because nothing really is bad in this world, because it just is. I try to see things as just is rather than good or bad. And man, if this isn't the best example I've ever heard from anybody, you were sexually abused and you're literally saying that happened for me and good came out of it. So I haven't had a bad day in a year and a half, and I'm going to live manifesting to live to be 110. So another 60 years.
Let's go.
I'm not going to have another bad day, because whatever happens to me, happens to me. It's happening for me. You get to live your life the exact same way. You don't ever have to be mad or upset about anything if you can just see it for things as they are. But why is it so much easier for me to live my life like that now? Because for 47 years, I couldn't. Because I did exactly the things you said, Jake. I did those three things. I deconstructed, I reconstructed. I went through the pain. I sought out the truth, and the truth set me free. And everybody has the ability to do this. Why don't you think this happens more in traditional therapy?
Oh man, we could go down a lot of different, this is a whole can of, we could do a podcast alone on this topic.
Maybe we'll have to.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly can, but it's important to understand that our brains are actually wired to a victim mindset. So, right, this is happening to me. Our brains are actually wired to a victim mindset. It's the clinical terminology for it is external locus of control, where we blame other people and other things outside of us for what has happened to us and for our current results. That's hardwired into us.
Why?
Self-protection.
Self-protection. Yep.
Right?
Survival.
Correct. Survival. Yeah. Because if I can blame other people and other things for my problems, that allows me to self-protect against other people hurting me or other things outside of me negatively impacting me. Internal locus of control, however, is that is not hardwired into us. That takes practice. It takes reps. It takes consistency, just like going to the gym. If you want to build muscle, if you want to build a strong physique, there's no way around needing to go to the gym or needing to lift heavy things.
Yeah.
Right? You have to stretch the muscle. You have to put it under pressure so that the muscle fibers can tear so that they can repair and regrow stronger. There's no way around it. That has to happen. The same is true, right? And if what happens if you don't use it? You lose it. It's amazing how quickly muscles atrophy. Like, quick example for this, just don't exercise for a month and then go back to exercising. You're going to be pretty sore for the first week or two when all of a sudden you get back into a consistent routine. I promise you that. So if you don't use it, you lose it. The same is true for a victor mindset, which is exactly what you just described. Everything is happening for me. That's a victor mindset. That is not hardwired into us. It takes consistency. It takes commitment. It takes repetition in order to not just cultivate that mindset, but continue to cultivate that mindset over time. If we don't use it, we lose it. But going back to what you mentioned about breaking free from this idea of good, bad, right, wrong, that is dualistic thinking in nature. It's either or, it's either this or that, which is very closely associated. One could argue directly associated with the victim mindset. Nature doesn't make up a story when a wolf comes out of the woods and kills a deer. It's just nature being nature, right? So there is no good, there is no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong in terms of what happened to me. Was it painful? Yeah, it was painful. Yep, absolutely. Was it terrible that person did that to me? Yeah, it was. But if that's where I stay, right? If I just stay in the space of like, this happened to me, victim mindset, I will never be able to move beyond that mindset, right? You can never outgrow your beliefs. You can never outperform your identity. If I stay there, growth is impossible. Growth will always evade me, because I'll constantly be victim to this thing that happened to me rather than asking myself the question, how can I use this? What's the lesson in this? What was the positive in this? Because there's always a positive. It may take a while for you to connect with that, like it did with me. You know, it took me 15 years to get to this point where I said, oh my goodness, because I have not just acknowledged what happened to me, but have spent a lot of time, energy, effort, hours in therapy, hiring coaches, I've been able to work through and overcome this terrible experience that has held me back. And that holds a lot of people back. 1 in 3 women will suffer some type of abuse, sexual or otherwise, at some point in time in their life. They say that for men, it's 1 in 6. But what I can tell you is that is largely due to a reporting problem, because less than 1% of men ever report their abuse.
Wow.
Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or whether it's sexual.
Wow. Good stuff. So Jake, as we conclude here, is there a client success story that you want to share with us? Someone who came to you and has had some major transformation?
Yeah, great question. So we all have a core wound or a core fear that our ego is constantly seeking to keep us in alignment with. It's just a question of what that wound is for you specifically. But I worked with a client a couple of years ago. She was a very successful e-commerce entrepreneur. She had a lot of difficulty delegating because her core fear was of betrayal, was of being taken advantage of. So as you can probably imagine, her hiring decisions simply served as confirmation bias to these fears around betrayal. So what do you think she did when it came to hiring people? She ignored red flags, right? She ignored red flags. She didn't do proper due diligence. She arguably hired too quickly, right? The old adage is, you know, hire slow, fire fast. She hired way too quickly. And those people eventually over time proved unfit for the job, which ultimately ended up setting her business back even further than before she hired that person. And every time, what did her ego do? Her ego got to be right. See, this is why it's not safe to trust people. See, this is why you can't delegate to people. You have to continue to do it all on your own, right? And so she was constantly overworking herself for the sake of keeping, for the sake of self-protecting, of course, but for the sake of keeping this core fear in place. Because as long as that fear is in place, she can't be taken advantage of. But the irony in all of that is we manifest what we fear, because that's where our focus and our energy and our attention is going. So we work through this. First of all, we bring awareness to this fear, this core fear that is driving so many, if not arguably all of her actions and her decisions. And it's not just limited to work. It shows up in her relationships as well. But nevertheless, the minute we started to create awareness around this fear and start to work through it, rewire it, as you put, all of a sudden, she starts making proper hires. Right? She starts making more informed business decisions. She has an easier time delegating. She's able to work through her resistance that, historically speaking, she experienced around all of those different things. And the business took off. And in 90 days, I think she went from making roughly $50,000 to $60,000 per month to $1.1 to $1.3 million per month.
Oh, what type of business?
Think about that growth.
What industry?
Beauty business. So it was e-commerce.
Wow.
So a lot of her sales were due to advertising, which I realize not all people do advertising in their business. But, you know, the ad agents, first of all, the hires that she had within her business served as confirmation bias to this old fear, to this wounding. But so did the contractors that she hired to handle her ads. They were constantly dropping the ball. They were not delivering or under delivering. And it was seriously negatively impacting her business and therefore her ability to grow the business. Once we got rid of that ad agency, which of course her ego wanted nothing to do with, she wanted to keep them for the sake of keeping this fear in place and achieving confirmation bias to her old story. The minute we got rid of them and hired a new ad agency that was capable of like enterprise size growth, boom, her business just took off. And then she had the personnel, the right personnel, to be able to support the growth.
So these limiting beliefs control us, so many of us. If you want to find out if you have these limiting beliefs, again, go to bradchandler.com/quiz and find out in 3 minutes. Jake, that was amazing. How can people reach you? Where can they find that awesome book of yours?
Yeah. So the best way to connect with me is via Instagram. I am Jake Kaufman. So my first and last name, K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N. Otherwise, you can find my book on Amazon, Let Love In, The Pain Stops When the Truth Starts by Jacob Kaufman. So my full name, and again, that's K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N.
Awesome. So guys, I'm trying to reach a million people with this message. So if you can help me by liking, sharing, reviewing, rating, whatever you can do to get this message out, I would really appreciate it. Thank you, Jake. And until next time, love heals all.
Brad, thanks so much.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.